what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. Joining me, as always, is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear the waving in my voice?
I can. I can
working
hear...
Working on waves in my voice.
I can hear your the ball in the back of your throat is waving at me. I forget what that's called, so I'm just going to call it the ball at the back of your throat. The thing that shows up when Charlie Brown wails. Everyone, please, if you go to watchwhatcrappens.com, you can follow us on all our social media platforms, and Lord knows we have a lot of them. So rather than list them off, just go to that website. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. It is actually becoming like a blog, you know? We have so much content going up, like silly photos and screenshots, and people writing their own stuff and comments. It's actually, it feels like a blog more than a Facebook page.
I know. I'm reading the suggestions for today's topics right now, and they're so good. And people were asking for cereal. You were correct, sir.
Yes. Well, guess what? Guess what? For those of you who support us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, you get a bonus episode, and we just recorded ours, and we talked all about cereal. So if you are obsessed with cereal, the podcast, or the breakfast food, go and listen to that bonus episode because we just had a lot of fun talking about it. Anyway, let's just get to the Bravo stuff. I could go on and on plugging our shit, but let's just get to Bravo.
Well, so far what I'm getting from this week's comment thread is everybody hates Brandy and Portia.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds just about right. That sounds about right.
So both act like five-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Both act like they actually make money mm-hmm. for themselves.
Yep.
Funny shit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I watched it today, so it's fresh in my brain.
I just watched it last night and read a recap. Let's talk about it.
You know what's funny? I'm actually on our Facebook page, and I'm seeing that you posted a link to your recap, and the little screen grab that you posted was exactly where I paused it earlier today. And when I paused it, I thought, I should take a picture of this, and I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't because you did it for me.
What, the her putting on her eye? Her eye things.
Yeah, and like her mouth is just like this black hole. It's like,
and like one of her nostrils big and then one of them full of cartilage or whatever. What the hell is with noses and Bravo this week?
I know, but you know though, I'm a big Lisa Rinna fan. I think she's doing a bang up job on this show so far.
Me too. I think she's so fantastic for the show. She should have been on in the first place.
She's very, very likable, and you feel like she's also very honest. I don't feel like she's putting up a facade. She's very, you know, she's very much like, I do this shit to get ahead in life, you know? And there's something
she's
actually
got
very
that,
relatable.
Like, desperate. She's got that like desperate Los Angeles need to be liked.
Yeah.
But and she is like, she seems to know everybody, but she's that girl in school who's just so nice to everybody, but also people probably talk a lot of shit behind her back. She's kind of like, you can walk all over her because you know that she'll do anything for like an invite to the right party.
Well, although according to the trailer for the season, it looks like she'll be throwing a glass, so we can't walk over her too much. Otherwise, they'll be walking on broken glass, Annie Lennox.
Well, I think my guess to see what happened, my guess about what happens is that she and Kim go at it because Kim is standing up for Brandy because Kim starts drinking again and Brandy's a drunk. So everybody's trying to turn against Brandy for being a drunk.
Right.
And then Kim's getting defensive for Brandy because, you know, birds of a bottle. And then so Kim gets all defensive and starts talking about what a whore Harry Hamlin is. And then Lisa Rinna throws wine in her face. And then Kim's like, but hey, you just made it so I'm not sober anymore. I got wine in my eyes. Your fault. And then he becomes a drunk again. The end.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Well, it looks like next week Lisa Vanderpump will be recruiting Lisa Rinna onto her team, which is great because Lisa Vanderpump always has the best people on her team. Even Brandy. Before Brandy became
awful,
Lisa Rinna
already
awesome.
Knows everybody in real life.
Yeah.
like she's already friends with everybody in real life. They've been trying to get her on the show for like two or three seasons, and I guess they just haven't been paying her enough. I don't know what the deal, why she wasn't coming on, but it's been rumored for a long time that she's going to be a Real Housewife, and they finally got her on, and so now it's going to be fun to see what I like that she's making it light and fun again, and it's not necessarily about fighting. But now we met Eileen, and Eileen seems like a bitch from hell.
Oh my God, I love her.
Her kick some ass.
I was like, she's only on for like, what, maybe 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes? And I was like, oh wow, she's already like one of my top three favorite housewives of all time. I was like, that was quick.
That was the most awkward scene I've sat through in a long time.
Oh, when she and Lisa were like catching up at Marivana?
Yes, and she's obviously, in her own mind and in Lisa's mind, so above Lisa, because Lisa was on Young and the Restless, I guess. I didn't watch that show, but she was on that, apparently, and then Days of Our Lives, just like Eileen was. Mm-hmm. But Eileen is like a huge, huge star, and still is.
Right.
And so it's awkward, because I don't think Lisa Rinna got fired from Days of Our Lives. She was really good on it, and she was really popular on it. She left for something else. I don't know if it was Get Married to Harry Hamlin, but that was a long-ass time ago.
Didn't she leave for Melrose Place, or no?
I don't think she left for that, because I think Melrose Place was later.
Either way, Lisa Rinna was at her peak. It's hard to say at her peak, because at her soap peak.
This is kind of her peak.
Yeah, you know, the thing is with Lisa Rinna is she's been plugging away. I mean, you got to admire this woman. Look at all the soap stars that have come and gone. And very few sort of like managed to not rise above it, but sort of poke through and to get to the next level of like pop culture awareness. And she's done it, even though she's not an A-lister by any means. Although, wasn't she just in a movie? Didn't she play someone's mom in a movie that was like unexpected?
She works.
I'm looking it up. She was in something. I was like, oh, wow, Lisa Rinna is this person's mom. That's not what I expect.
She works. I mean, a lot of those soap opera people are awful, but I know that Eileen's good because I used to watch her, and Lisa Rinna was good. And I just saw Lorna from Another World. She was on Sons of Anarchy. I think it was Sons of Anarchy. That's all I've watched.
No, lately. I mean, obviously, oh, you know what it was? It was in Community. In Community, she played a character's mom. She played Mark's mom. I don't remember who Mark was. But
yeah, I mean, I think she's good, and she's like a personality that comes through on the screen and all that. But it was an awkward scene to watch because Eileen was like acting like she would never talk to Lisa in the studio. You know, she'd be like, go back to your little trailer. I'll be here in my mega trailer.
Well, what I loved about Eileen was that when Lisa's like, oh, congrats on your Emmy. And Eileen, and she's like, where do you keep it? And Eileen's, oh, I don't know. It just goes from room to room. Like, it's in the bedroom, then the living room, then the kitchen. I just don't know. I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, wow.
That haughty, like, dismissiveness almost, you know?
Yeah. And Lisa's like, wow. Well, what a blessing. Well, aren't we lucky? Whoa, we should do this more often. And she's like, so what's your favorite color, if you could name your favorite color? And Eileen's like, wow, that's a good question. She's like, I used to be a talk show host. Yeah, you and me hustling, taking whatever jobs we can get, right? And Eileen's like, bitch, I have had the same starring role in a sitcom.
Yeah, you know? I was like, I don't think Eileen's really hustling.
Soap operas for years. Okay, have fun on your talk show.
Yeah, like, has she won an Emmy before? I feel like she's probably won Emmys. Or is this recent? Do you know?
I was surprised too when she said that, because I thought
she's
that can't be
snagged
her.
One.
That can't be her first Emmy, right?
Well, we're about to find out. We're about
How
to find out.
How could she not win Emmys for? Hold on.
You know what? Her IMDb photo. Wait.
Google says Eileen Davidson transsexual, because it used to be a rumor that she was transgendered. So I was looking it up yesterday for the recap to see if there was any proof.
Can I tell you something? If you go onto Eileen Davidson's IMDb page, she has the funniest photo up. She's basically like giving you such bitch face. She's like, why are you taking a picture of me right now? She's just sort of like slumped over and just staring at this totally disdainful, quietly like seething way. I love it.
Yeah, she really is.
See it? She's like,
good call. Yeah.
She's like, why are you on my IMDb page? Don't you have something better to do? It's like, you're afraid to look. She has only one win. 9 nominations, one win.
She's coming out in a, I think this is a movie called Spycosis.
Yes,
she's playing the president of the United States.
I would see that. She also played in a movie called Symphoria, she plays someone named Vicki Lewis, which would be hilarious if she was actually portraying the actress Vicki Lewis.
God, this is crazy. Dina, this is really a crazy if she was playing like the little robot.
She was also in a movie called Stranger at the Pentagon. She played the character Dina Thor. And then she also was in a movie called Hell and Mr. Fudge.
I didn't know she was on Santa Barbara.
Oh, look at her. Look at her going all the way. I don't see her Santa Barbara credit. It's not on here for some reason.
It's crazy looking at soap operas. The Young and the Restless from 1984 to 2014. But she wasn't on it that whole time.
No.
Still though, she's playing leading roles on two different soap operas at the same time.
That's crazy that she's doing that.
But anyway, yeah, she's talented. And I also forgot that when she was on Days of Our Lives, she played Kristen DeMira, her dorky twin. Well, she wasn't really your twin, but her dorky lookalike, Susan. You're mean, Kristen. But then Susan has a twin named Sister Regina something. So she played three characters on that show.
That must be, you know, sometimes it must be so fun.
Two of them are semi-retarded. It's awesome.
It must be so fun to play a soap star, to be a soap star sometimes, because that just does not happen in network TV. It really doesn't. And
I wish this was like Mexico, where you didn't have to work out to be on a soap opera. I would love to be on a soap. I could do it in Mexico. I could be fat and bald and be on a soap opera in Mexico. That's how they are. And then all the women are still gorgeous and crying over you. Like, por qué?
That's the life. That's the life.
Por qué? Caliente. Mira, qué emoción. Adam, no necesito su tears. Okay.
Piso mojado. I only know, like, the only Spanish phrases I know are from the signs I see around town in L.A. It says piso mojado. I always see that everywhere because it means wet floor. Actually, my old roommate, he was Nicaraguan, and he taught me one phrase. The phrase was, me encanta comer bagels con queso de crema, which means, I want a bagel and cream cheese.
That's awesome. You see, I grew up in El Paso. I know what you're talking about. I know my span.
I'm like,
there's a big billboard across the street for HIV. And in Starbucks, some guy was like, why is that spelled backwards? They're so stupid. And I was like, because it's for Mexicans. Okay? It's like for Latinos. Everything's backwards. It's like the question mark. Why is the question mark backwards?
They painted the question mark upside down.
They're like, Heave? I'm like, yes, we get it now.
Why is that one?
I have a friend on that big HIV. I'm sorry, I keep talking over you. I don't know if there's a delay.
Actually, no, I'm talking over you. You continue, but your friend.
No, HIV. I don't mean to be rude like that. But those guys, I know one of those guys up there. He's so cute and that little HIV thing. But I'm like, why are you on an HIV billboard?
Maybe he has HIV.
No, he doesn't. I mean, I asked him.
Oh well,
but even if you did, why do you want to advertise that? That's like when Joey was on the fucking herpes commercial on Friends. Or who's that guy who's on the AIDS truck? We've talked about this before.
Oh, Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood. Blair Underwood, get off the AIDS truck.
Listen, Blair Underwood can go anywhere he wants because he is mighty sexy. And you know what's funny about Blair Underwood? He used to be a castmate of Harry Hamlin's. And well, you know what's funny about that? Is that now I have images of Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin watching porn together, courtesy of this show.
Oh my God, that was so funny. She's like, my friends are always asking why we watch porn. I'm like, how do you not watch porn?
She's like, I'm going to take off my wig and get my lube out.
And I think that's true because at a certain point, you're basically just each other's masturbation tools, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I personally never watch porn.
You just watch it for the stories.
Yeah, the stories are riveting.
I do actually prefer when porn has, I don't need like a whole story. Like, yes, I don't like the ones where they're like, we're spies. It's a group of spies and they try and make a plot, but they're really terrible. And you can tell they're shooting in like their office at the donut shop, but they're like, it's the Pentagon.
Yeah. No, I don't like scenarios like that. But I don't like when you just, when it just starts and they're already naked and just screwing. And I think I like a little bit of like a buildup. You know, I'm still a fan of the classic porn tropes of the delivery guy who shows up or the plumber.
I love those.
You know, things like that. I'm down.
I love like when the plumber comes.
Oh yeah, and then he gets water on his shirt when he's trying to fix the pipes.
Yeah, and they're like, take off your shirt and let it dry. Like, the plumber gives a shit if his shirt is wet. He's a plumber. Exactly.
But that's
he, like,
a
sticks
classic.
His hand down poopy drains all day.
Yeah, no, that is a classic scenario, and I think it's great. And I think more porn should be like that. I think all porn should involve someone in the service industry arriving at the door to help out, man, with something.
That's a good one. Or where they're like, there's like a whole... there's like all these little niches that have broken out that are so funny that are like, you know, guys having sex with their next door neighbors.
Like, yeah.
A whole thing.
Yeah.
Whole site devoted to being like, hey, man, your car's in my driveway. Can you move it? It's like, whoops, I'm in the shower. Whoops. I was just about to play with myself. Want to help me out? He's like, yeah, but then will you move your car? And he's like, okay, as long as I can rape your butt first. And
yeah.
Like, okay.
You know, the ones I don't like are when it's like two guys hanging out and they're like, man, my girlfriend won't have sex with me. I am so, like, horny these days. You know, like,
I love those.
See, that one I feel like that's, like, stupid, you know? Because I don't feel like
I love those. And they're like, that stupid bitch, she doesn't even know how to suck my dick. And then the other guy's like, really? Maybe I can help you. He's like, really, dude? I'm not gay. He's like, you don't have to be gay. It's not gay if you're just getting a blowjob and then possibly getting it up the butt. And then they're like,
okay.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I'll tell you one I didn't like. There was one that I watched that had, it was like from several years ago, and it's like two porn stars that were like very attractive at the time. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll watch this one. And it was like a Harry Potter, like, porn, like, themed porn. It was like, it was called like Harry, Hole or something. I don't know what it was called. But they had the Cloak of Invisibility, and so as a result, they basically shot in front of a green screen and put like some green thing around the guy, except for his dick. So someone was giving a blowjob to a floating dick, and it was like, it just was so unsexy. It was so stupid. And the dick would be like bopping around. It was like the most ridiculous porno I ever saw. And I was like, this is such a waste of a very handsome man.
Can we do a whole podcast just about porn? Like, we can just review the same porn and be like, girl, please, look at what that guy is wearing. I thought no plumber would wear jeans like that to work.
I do actually, there's a porn video that I have that I kept solely because the intro is so hilarious. I'm gonna have to extract the audio so we can play it on the podcast so people can hear it, because it is so funny.
What's up with European porn videos? They always have guys that are walking.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is. They're always walking through, like, ruins. And then,
yeah. They're like, here's a guy walking through Paris. Okay, now he's downtown. Now he's on a bus. Now he's off the bus and he's walking up the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Now he's going into a building and going up the stairs. Now he's trying different keys to get in. It's like, this is 6 minutes in.
You,
like, my wiener is so confused.
You know what I also don't like? I like the when it comes to naked time, I like it to be to get to naked time at a like, so it makes sense in terms of like the speed. So if you're watching like 5 minutes of build up, if there's like 5 minutes of story or like the creating the fantasy, or even if it's like 5 minutes of walking around,
there needs to be like 15 minutes of sex, right?
Well, no, I don't like that. Then all of a sudden it goes from like 0 to 60. Then now they're all naked. Like if you're gonna enjoy the art of the tease, you know, like sort of.
Yeah, like when there's the plumbing ones and they're taking all this time, but then they just start making out and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You didn't even drop a wrench or anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm like,
you can't just start doing that.
Yeah, I was like, you already hooked me for like the whole seduction and everything, the fantasy. Like, I'm ready to see this. And like one little thing comes off, then maybe another or something. Like, you're excited for that part of it. So that is the storytelling.
Like, you took the trouble to rent the donut shop office.
Yeah.
I mean, make some effort. Okay, we went from Eileen Davidson to gay porn.
This is Lisa Rinna's fault.
Yeah, this is those blow-up doll lips fault.
Oh, gosh. We'll get to blow-up dolls later.
So Lisa is a welcome addition. I love her on this show, and I love that she's naturally friends with Lisa Vanderpump, because Lisa Vanderpump needs some friends.
So,
and also, she probably won't fuck over Lisa Vanderpump. And also, she's legit rich, I think, at this point again.
Yeah. And if
What's the other thing
I was going to say? She has cool kids. I like the way she talks with her kids. Everything seems good. Now, I want to talk about Lisa Vanderpump and Brandy. So Brandy has really become so insufferable. I loved how her first scene, she's like, she has a friend over. She's like, oh, hey, can you help me hang this up? I like don't know how to do it. And it's like, of course, a framed you know, copy of her book cover and then showing that it's on the top of the New York Times bestsellers for ebooks, I'd like to add.
And she's also walking around in a thong and a see-through dress.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, it was such, please, with it was, this.
Like, you don't know how to, like, hammer a nail into the wall. Like, you really... it was so stupid. It was, like, clearly showing off that she was the top of that thing. So she was already annoying me from that. But then when it got to later in the episode, when she was going on a hike with Kyle, and it was, like, the same thing where she's like, you know, we're in a fight. I just feel like it needs to be resolved. And, like, Lisa just will never apologize. It's like... what the hell does Lisa have to apologize for?
Do anything, you dumb hoe. And everybody knows she didn't. And I was going to say, you know, you saying it over and over again doesn't make it true. And people don't just start believing it because you repeat it over and over. But you know what? They do. Because they do. I've been reading some little like comment threads or whatever. And people do. They're like, well, Lisa didn't ever apologize. And they're like, what did Lisa do again? They're like, well, she planted all those stories about Kyle and Maurizio's husband cheating on Kyle. And, oh, and then she, you know, she hired Sheena just to fuck with Brandy and all this stuff. It's like, none of this ever happened, you dumb whores. Could you watch the show? Take notes.
This is all stuff that Brandy alleged. Okay.
Yeah, but you say it enough times and people start to believe it.
Whereas Brandy actively tried to turn people against this woman who had defended her and had taken her under her wing. You know, some people will say, oh, well, it was part of Lisa's manipulation. To which I always say, what is Lisa trying to manipulate? What is this game of chess that people are saying she's playing? Like, what is the end game? It's not like she's trying to, like, conquer a land, you know?
Yeah, Lisa wants publicity for her restaurants. Right. And she wants to be on magazine covers and look pretty. And then she wants to, like, make sitcom scenes with friends because she always wanted to be an actress. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe those things are vapid and shallow, but so what? She's at least, you know, not hurting other people to do it. But then this whole thing with stupid Kyle being there at the hike, again, hike with this hiking.
Yeah. I know. And so Brandy's like, I just think, like, you know, she's called up. She's like, I just feel like, you know, like, we can, like, I don't know, like, we both said a lot of things, and I hate that. It's like, no, bitch, you started it, you know?
Yeah.
You should not be expecting an apology. There's none.
Yeah, I'm so sick of that story, but I am not sick of Lisa, because I love that Lisa is like, she's giving this look to Ken, like, why the fuck is she calling me? Mm-hmm. And then Brandy's there rolling her eyes, like, why can't we be friends anymore? Then she's rolling her eyes and calling her 75 and, like, all this other shit on the side.
I know. No,
Brandy has no bit of sincerity in her. She just doesn't want to be excluded anymore from anything because no one will shoot with her from Kim. And the only reason Kim's shooting with her is because someone told her it was Susan Sarandon.
No, I mean, Brandy's basically trying to make a new case against Lisa. She's trying to, like, put Lisa in this position where Lisa has to be like, no, I'm not, darling, I'm not going to apologize to you. And then Brandy's going to take that and run with it and be like, you know, Lisa, she's just like a mean person. You know, she just doesn't apologize. She'll never apologize. She's always Miss Perfect. She always has to be Miss Perfect. And she's going to probably try to use that as basis to get people on her side. But it's bullshit. The whole foundation of her argument is based on bullshit. She doesn't have to apologize because she didn't do anything. So she had Sheena. So Sheena works at her restaurant. Big deal. Like, how does Brandy not realize that the producers make Sheena
well,
go to
Well, we already
these events?
Knew all this because, we've talked about this a zillion times.
Yeah.
Because when Brandy first came on Beverly Hills, it was the end of season one when Sir was opening and she came with Cedric, or the end of season two, and she came with Cedric and got kicked out of the party, remember? And Sheena was already working there and had already been working for Villa Blanca years before.
Yeah.
Before Lisa ever met Brandy. And it's documented on Bravo. So shut up. Yeah. Just stop your lying.
Yeah.
She's so frustrating. So anyway, I don't even want to waste time on her, except to say I feel really bad for her children because she's driving some leased Range Rover, which is never going to be paid for. She's in some new lease house. She does not make money to be living like she's living. And now she's being sued for child support from Eddie.
That sucks.
Are going to be left with no money.
Well, why don't we talk about Kyle? And let's talk about the fact that Kyle's thing these days is now saying over and over again that she does not want to spoil Portia, although it may be too late. I think a good way to not spoil your daughter is to not give her a shirt that says, I left my Louis in the jet, and that shirt costs like $200.
Yeah.
That's a good way not to spoil her. Or how about don't put her on a private jet to Mallorca? That's also a good way not to spoil her.
But I love that she went into the dressing room to try and calm Portia down, who's screaming and yelling in the store how she wants shit, which granted is how kids are, you know.
Yeah.
But she goes into the dressing room with her and she's like, listen, Portia, some children don't have clothes. Okay. So be quiet. Like, that always works on a kid. Like, they give a crap what other kids have.
Suddenly kids have empathy.
We used to be like, fine, mother, put our dinner in a box and ship it to Africa.
That's what I used to always
say. We're not eating it.
That's what I would always say every time my mom would say, you know, there are kids in Africa who are starving. I'd be like, so give them this food.
I feel kind of bad for Portia because I feel like Kyle doesn't understand. Like, she looks frustrated and she's saying she doesn't want to raise a brat. But Kyle, I think, thinks it's funny. And she's trying to use Portia to be like a Melania.
Yeah.
And, honey, no. You're putting your daughter in harm's way because you're putting her on TV as such a brat. And people who watch these shows don't give a crap. They'll go on and call your daughter a stupid bitch all over the internet, which they're doing, by the way.
Sure.
You know, they're like, that stupid little twat. I'm like, what, you guys? She's like six. I'm like, fuck her! Put her on a cross! Cut her head off! What a brat! Send her to jail! It's like, Jesus. People are so harsh. But Kyle's doing it because she thinks it'll make her the next Melania. And honey, no. Melania's funny because she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and Melania's... Melania's not spoiled. She's just the devil incarnate. That's what makes it different. Whereas Portia's
spoiled. And she's funny. Like, she's funny. She's got really funny, like, little one-liners and stuff. Yeah. She's
and
got
she
some
sits,
wit for a
And
kid.
She sits in fresh salad.
She sits in salads in the store. Exactly.
Yeah.
She calls her dad an idiot all the time. She's like, you're an idiot. Like, now that's a kid right there.
Yeah.
But just showing some spoiled little Beverly Hills brat, that's not going to end well for Portia, and you're putting her in a really bad position for your own attention getting, Kyle, as usual.
And meanwhile, they spent $564 on those t-shirts. I mean, whatever happened to the days of going to Target? Isn't Kyle an ambassador for Target?
She's an ambassador.
Yeah.
For the world.
Yeah.
Kyle's the worst. And then where, you know, she's so obsessed with talking about how rich she is now because Mauricio has his old firm and that his own firm. And that's great. Like, congrats. But please be quiet. I mean, every week it's like, then we're going to go here and then we're going to buy this and then we're going to be on a private plane and then we're going to be on a yacht and then we're going to, Jesus Christ. How about you just have a personality for 5 minutes instead of trying to float around on one all the time?
Yeah, I say hear, hear to that. Hear, hear. I agree.
And she's going to go out of the country and meet Yolanda on a boat. Please save us from that.
Well, that'll be interesting because Yolanda spent a good portion of this episode like just singing the praises of her daughter Bella for being a free spirit. And I love what she says. Yolanda says, I can't wait to see all the trouble you get into. And Bella's like, I'm not getting in trouble. She's like, no, I meant in life. I didn't mean like, well, I'm gone on vacation. But as we soon find out next week, Bella gets a DUI. So she does get into some trouble. Ruh-roh.
My favorite part of that was Yolanda like, oh, you know, you don't have to go to school if you don't want to. She's like, I never thought school was important, but you know, Muhammad thinks it's important. Of course you don't think it's important.
I know.
You're some like 7 foot tall model who made your money off your boobs and your wiener.
She's like, look
of course
at those.
You didn't need school, but other people do, okay? People who can't put their ankles behind their ears need to go to school, Yolanda.
She's like, look at those Smith kids. They're doing quite well for themselves. They don't go to school and they're very smart. I'm just turning her into Arnold Schwarzenegger. Also, we had Kathy Hilton. Kathy Hilton came by.
God, Kathy Hilton's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, they went to so Kim's daughter's getting married, and so they went to the same wedding dress place boutique that OC went to when Lori Waring was like, "Oh yeah, I heard that Brooks has sex with prostitutes." Vicky's like, "What?" You know.
But, oh, that was the same place.
Yeah, it was the same place.
You've got a good eye.
Well, I remember. Well, I've got two things. The reason one is it looked the same, but also one of the guys that work in that space about like a year and a half ago, I met him at Here Bar, and like in the dim lights of Here Bar, he looked really like attractive. He was like really cute. He was like muscular and everything, and we were like talking, and he gave me his card and his number. And I remember I looked up, I sort of like stalked him from his card. I saw he worked at this like bridal salon, and then it was like on OC, like in the next like week or whatever. And then when I saw him on like Real Housewives of Orange County, I saw his face was totally plastic surgeried up, and like everything was like tucked back, and it was like this awful gruesome thing. And I was like, no.
I mean, these guys really, that whole scene, I could not take the plastic surgery.
Yeah, so you saw what I was talking about.
I mean, those guys are just, oh yeah, I have like tons of pictures of them in the recap because I couldn't stop staring at those faces.
So one
of my issues is just, come on, as gay people, let's stop this. Men should not be getting plastic surgery on their face like that. It's too much. He's brown from all the makeup he's wearing and spray tan. His wig, his eye, it's like everything. Stop being ridiculous. Just stop.
Yeah, the one that I had talked to at Hero Bar was in the red shirt.
with the Chucky wig. I'm looking at it right now. He's wearing like a Chucky wig, really bad plug.
He was wearing a hat when I met him. He was wearing a little baseball cap, which also made him look younger. And again, I swear to God, this is the first time ever that it's really been a situation where, oh wow, the lights were dark and I really didn't see that he was all plastic surgery. He looked like really good.
Well, here he looks totally plastic surgeryed up. But, you know, in their defense, maybe they knew the cameras were coming, and so they both went and got fillered and Botoxed up like these idiots do. They don't, you know, you need like a good 3 weeks for that shit to calm down properly.
Yeah, that's true.
But the worst here was Kathy. She comes in. The girl is obviously in this wedding dress that she wants to buy. She thinks it's gorgeous. And Kathy's like, ew, no, gross. You look poor. You look like someone in Vegas. What, do you want to look trashy for your wedding? I mean, you need something a little classy, honey. You look like a cocktail waitress. First of all, your daughter became famous like swallowing sperm on the internet, Kathy, okay? And you're wearing some disgusting blouse with weird shit glued to it that looks like all the grandbabies your child has swallowed. And it doesn't even fit. The button is like stretching on your boob. Shut the fuck up, lady. Get out of here.
Well, but the funny thing is that the dress that she ultimately went for, I thought it was terrible.
It was awful. And that was like, slutty. That was like
lacy on the
bottom. A mini skirt with like see-through lace on the legs.
I hated it. I hated
it. Just know with that.
But I did like the flashback of Kathy when Kim's like, yeah, well, you know, Kathy, she's pretty opinionated. And they just do a flashback of Kathy going up to Kim and be like, oh, so that's what you're wearing? And she's like, yeah. And Kathy's like,
While Kathy was wearing leopard print, by the way.
Yeah, that's true too.
So gross. Kathy looks disgusting. And watching her sisters just stand by and let her be alpha because she's got the most money was hilarious too.
Yeah.
It's like, better listen to Kathy. She's, you know, she's going to have the purse strings when we're older.
Yeah.
Get that bitch out of here. I would kick her out. And especially since she's trying to come get free publicity for whatever the hell her stupid ass is trying to sell now that her sisters are famous and she refused to do this show without money before. Get out of here, Kathy.
Yeah, get out of here, Kathy.
I have no time for her or her stupid child.
Yeah. All right. So should we move on to...
She's been tweeting about her music. Shut up, Paris. Okay.
Oh, yeah. DJ Paris.
You crawl back in that gaping womb and both of you all get on a plane somewhere, a private plane, far, far away, and shut up. Just shut up together.
So question. Do you want to talk about Atlanta?
It's 111. Good luck.
Oh, it's 411 for me. So it's 411. So I've got the 411 for you. We're going to change shows. So... do you want to talk about Vanderpump or Atlanta?
Let's talk about Atlanta.
All right. Good choice. Good choice. So this week on Atlanta, let's see if I can remember what happened. So Portia continues to be awful, as we alluded to at the top of the episode. She's really coming off as a huge spoiled brat. She always was a spoiled brat, but she's sort of like a sweet spoiled brat. But now she's just like a nasty spoiled brat.
If you pit her against someone who's worse than her, you'll root for her because she's less terrible. But right now she doesn't have that.
Yeah, and you know, like, I know she's excited that she got a gig on Dish Nation, a syndicated show that only seems to air in gyms at 2 p.m. But like, honestly, she better slow her roll. Like, the only time I ever see that show is when I'm like walking to the gym. I was like, oh, there's that show again. Dish Nation.
Dish Nation. Ugh, Dish Nation is terrible. It's really terrible. I'm sorry.
It is.
That show is really bad. They're like, hey, you were talking about Kim Kardashian's butt. What do you guys think in the radio station in Seattle? And they're like, You guys, Kim Kardashian's butt is out again. Girl, put on some pants. All right, what do you guys think in Orlando? And they're like, wow, Kim Kardashian has a big butt. All right, what do you think in El Paso? They're like, Kim Kardashian is pretty. Like, please make this show be quiet.
I know. Well, it's like, you know, I think the saddest part about Dish Nation is seeing some of like the DJs who are like really popular and have been on the radio for a long time, but now they're thrust onto TV. So they're trying to like look cool, like Todd Pettengale from PLJ here in New York. Like, I don't know if he's even still on Dish Nation, but he was for a while, and he has like highlights in his hair, and he's got like Abercrombie on, and he's like 56. I'm like, please get this off my TV. Meanwhile, of course, I would like die to be on Dish Nation.
That would be a fun job. Yeah, I mean, and I think the idea is not, I mean, the idea is mostly just weird because
it's just it's so
radio
hokey.
Stations.
I just feel like it's getting the hokiest part of radio. You know, it is getting that sort of like that morning zoo thing, but in the afternoon. Because I actually do not like the morning zoo style. Like, it's like too much. It's too much for me. I'm an old man all of a sudden.
It wasn't all of a sudden with me. It's been happening since I turned 18. Oh. I just like progressively just turned.
You're like,
over.
No more morning zoos.
Yeah. It's like morning shows. I actually hate late night shows because I can't. This is every late night show. Like the whole time.
True.
It's like a bunch of fucking animals. They get like 1,000 people in there and then they make them scream for an hour and a half about nothing. It makes me nuts.
I know. I mean, like, I used to watch late night TV. I used to love, believe it or not, back in like 1997, I used to love Jay Leno. And then I stopped. Somehow, somewhere along the way, I came to my senses. And then I used to watch Conan like every single night. I was like obsessed with Conan. And then Letterman and Daily Show. And then I just, I don't know. I just don't watch them anymore.
Too much noise. I need some silence in my life.
Yeah.
If now watch, Sons of Anarchy, where everybody just shoots each other and beats up a hooker.
You're not going to make Sons of Anarchy happen, Ronnie. I know you wanted it to happen in the bonus episode. It's not going to happen.
It's going to happen because you're eventually going to binge watch it. And you're going to be like, oh my God, so many what shows, the hell?
I have so many shows to binge watch. I'm just patting myself on the back for even binge listening to Serial. I'm like, this is the first time I've like binge listened to something and been current with it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm so smart. That was on NPR, you guys.
I can only imagine Portia. Serial? There's a podcast about Lucky Charms?
I found a little plastic bicycle in my box today. What'd you find?
Dun, 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 dun. Previously on Serial with Portia. Portia Stewart. I had some honey bunches of oats. And there's no toy inside. So I thought to myself, was there ever a toy inside? So then I emailed a bunch of people, and they didn't write back. Dun, 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 dun.
I'd like to thank Tony the Tiger for everything he did for racism. When he was the driver of that bus underground, when he was the driver of the underground bus and saved all those black people from Fruity Pebble. Thank you so much, Tony. Grr!
Blink, this- blink. The Portia Stewart Serial Podcast is brought to you by MailChimp, because I got a MailChimp chimpanzee back there, and he pressed play on this.
Whenever my mail's there, I'm like, where's that chimp? I'm going to spank that chimp.
I had 3 phone calls. One phone call was the chimpanzee, and the other 2 phone calls were just my butt calling. Colin, J.C. Penney. Bling, bling. And I was like, J.C. Penney, where's your cereal department?
We're mixing the two shows. I'm sorry. We were talking about the podcast Serial in the bonus episode, and we're still talking about it.
Bling, 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 bling,
bling. But were we ever? Bling, bling.
Oh, my God.
You have
all right.
One phone call from Cordell Stewart.
Bling. Bling, bling.
It's like, I changed the locks, bitch.
No, Cordell, don't do it. Bling, bling,
bling. I love the idea of Portia having her own podcast about cereal. Now, these are great nuts. These are cornflakes. I don't know what this is.
Grace had nuts. Did Grace have babies?
This is Cookie Crunch, but it looks like it's about to get stolen. There's a bunch of robbers on it.
Wow. Okay.
If you don't watch cereal, you'll be so confused.
Basically, the crux of the Portia stuff this week is Portia's stupid, and Portia's a dumb hoe because she's on Dish Nation, which she thinks is Roseanne or something. She thinks she's been handed her own show. And this other chick, Claudia Jordan, God bless her heart, has to do the radio version of the show. Do you know how much harder that is? She has to work for like 3 hours and make all the real jokes, and then Portia just comes in for 15 minutes
and she gets to be on TV. And if she messes up, they can edit it, whereas Claudia is live and has to, you know, deal with everything.
Yeah. So now that Claudia got a job on Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia hates her, basically, is what's going on, because she's stepping on her turf. And I find that so interesting because it happens on every Housewives show where the new one is ostracized until she proves herself, right?
Unless she's richer than them, in which case, then they all kiss her ass.
Yeah, true.
Lisa Rinna style.
Lisa Rinna. I don't know that Lisa Rinna is really rich. I mean, if you think about it, Harry Hamlin has his earlier like star money, right? But that money wasn't as good as it got later on in the TV game, like LA Law and stuff like that. He wasn't getting paid like $500,000 an episode.
Well, how about Shannon Bedore? That's a good example because Shannon came onto the OC.
Yes,
she's super wealthy. And is the first one ever to walk onto the OC, and Vicky did not like attack her. Vicky loved her.
Just the Lisa Rinna thing, real quick. Harry, when she was talking about doing those Depends commercials, and she's like, "I saved our bacon with those commercials," because I think that they were out of money at that point, and she did it for a few million dollars and put them back on top. Because I'm sure Mad Men's not paying him shit. You know, he's getting like minimum for. Yes. Like SAG minimum for being on Mad Men.
Yes, it's not a it's on basic cable. It's not a huge role, and it's only been a season and a half. He will have only been on a season and a half by the time the show ends. And what was he really doing before then? Probably some Lifetime movies.
And even in this role, he really didn't do anything until the end of last season. He finally got some balls on him. I do too, and I think he does good on the show. I just don't think she's. Yeah. People are nice to her because she's rich. I think are nice to her because she's always a vote.
Yeah. So Claudia Jordan, I like Claudia Jordan so far. I'm down with her, and
I like her. She's going to be a bitch on wheels.
She will just be. She is embarrassed about her toes. I find that to be somewhat relatable. I'm happy with my toes, but I just like that she has something that she's like embarrassed about because I have stuff I'm embarrassed about. Mainly my chest. There, y'all heard it. I'm embarrassed about my chest. I like her, and I liked how when she reached out to Portia, and she was like very like she actually was like very I thought sweet, and she approached it in a very nice way, and she was like, "Listen, I feel like there's been a weird energy change," and da 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 da, and Portia's like, "Uh-huh, you like Tom Ford, you know?" She's like, "Cause I just like
Portia is so stupid." Well, first she went up to her at Dish Nation and was like, "Hi, Portia," and Portia's like, "Hello," like, "So what's going on, girl?" She's like. Not even answering, just doing your lipstick, pretending she's not in the room. Mm-hmm. She's like, "So, Portia, what's your favorite color?" And Portia's just like looking away and doing her lipstick.
Didn't you feel like a little bit like maybe that was the producers just splicing footage from later, like 20 minutes later?
Maybe, yeah, that's true.
I kind of felt that it was so blatant. I was like, I mean, I think Portia is obnoxious, but not that obnoxious.
Well, she did look, not Portia, but Claudia did look really awkward in that.
That's true.
Like she was getting screwed over at that moment.
We're just like, I'm but the host recap, of Dish Nation.
The recapper for this section, her name is Elle Boogie. She's one of my favorites. She writes recaps for this, and she's so funny. The first picture is Portia putting on makeup, and it says, "I'm so grateful for all the people who marched on Booker T. Washington so I could get this far." And then there's a picture of Claudia below it saying, "I didn't come for Dish Nation. I'm coming for your peach, bitch." And that is the foreshadowing. So watch out, Portia. You can be mean, but this is the woman who literally takes the peach out of your hand mid-season and kicks your ass to the curb. So that's have fun acting like an asshole.
Yeah. Exactly.
She'll probably be on the TV version by next month, too.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. Yeah, so enjoy that Dish Nation. She probably doesn't even realize. She's probably still wondering, like, so when are we going to talk about Housewives? Isn't this Dish Nation?
Yeah, she's going to be like,
Is it unsafe to eat hot things on plastic plates? Because that could give you cancer.
She's like, one time I tried to eat cereal off a plate, but when I poured the milk in, it got everywhere. So that's a lesson for everyone who listens to the cereal podcast. Don't use the wrong dish. Little crossover. By the way, my Porsche accent is like crazy today. I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I'm doing some crazy Audrey 2 Little Shop of Horrors thing with her. I'm like, hey, Mr. Munchkin. Melch, whatever his name is.
Mr. Mushnick.
Mr. Mushnick. Seymour, I'm going to be on Dish Nation.
Yes, doctor.
Doctor. This doctor's been brought to you by MailChimp.
I know Seymour is the greatest, but I'm dating a semi-sadist.
Suddenly, cornflakes are standing beside me. They don't need much
don't
milk.
Don't even get started on Audrey songs, because I'll somewhere that's green the shit out of that song. Podcast.
That is one musical that I definitely do know very well. At least the movie version.
Okay. They're the same. It only cut out a couple songs.
Yeah.
New movie versions, Into the Woods, made me cry. Go see it, everybody. Really? Wow. Tears squeezed out of me. Yeah, I don't know if you'll like it, because it's really musical-ish.
Well, I saw the original.
Did you like it?
Well, I was a kid, but I liked it. Yeah, but I liked it because it was it's all these fairy tales all in one place.
Yeah, my family hated it when we saw it. I was the only one who liked it. I was like, that was amazing. They're like, that music was so annoying. Fuck that show. But I loved it. And the movie was so good. Oh. Right. Okay, so the next part after Portia and Claudia was when they had that awkward-ass lunch together. Are we done talking about that? Or did you have
something? I'm trying to remember.
Basically, Claudia was just being nice and Portia was being a bitch. Portia, you're going to get yours, girl. So get ready, because I can't wait to see it at this point.
Right.
Now, the next part was this Todd and Candy bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Where Todd is now comfortable because he's married. I mean, he was pretty comfortable when they weren't married. But now that they're married, he's super comfortable. He's wearing his hat on top of his head turned sideways.
I feel bad for Don Juan. I really do. I mean, the other two, I don't know what their deal is. But Don Juan, I feel like Don Juan has been like a really good worker all these years. And he's like... You know, and you know what I like about Don Juan? He sort of looks like a cartoon cat who's mad. Maybe even like Tom of Tom and Jerry. Is Tom the cat, right? Whichever one's the cat. He sort of looks like when he like crosses his arms, I can just see him being like a little cartoon cat being really angry that Jerry got away, you know? But I like Don Juan, and Todd is like so emblematic, I feel like, of middle management. Like, he's exactly the sort of person who comes into your department and is now your new supervisor and is, like, condescending and starts saying things like, well, what we need to start doing, when he really means what you need to start doing. And, it actually really rubbed me the wrong way, that entire Todd segment.
Yeah, Todd's totally in the wrong. He's like, well, I don't think your team's really doing what they should be doing, baby. And you need to come down on them. And she's like, well...
See, now, Riley was like, when are we going to take class, mama? And I was like, see, now, where are the classes at? Because I was like, classes.
And he's like, well, we need to talk to them.
No, Todd's
and then
more
he's like, you guys are, you know, we're falling behind on these projects. Like, remember that time we said we'd give songwriting classes and then nobody did anything?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what Todd expects to do. He expects to walk into a room and go, okay, we're going to give songwriting classes, do a Broadway show, and record an album. Bye. I'll be back in a month.
He's like, okay, so arrange our wedding and put together this show with no time, and then I'm going to yell at you when you didn't do something else. You know. Although, I've been trying to work on Todd's voice, but it's that thing where when I'm watching the show, I can do the voice really well, but now that we're talking, it's probably come out all messed up. But basically,
Todd just does that.
You know, he's like, he's like, he sort of talks high. he talks high. He's like, I don't see what's getting done over here. It's like all I'm seeing is a bunch of you guys just sitting around. Like, Don Juan, like, you know, you're not doing anything. I know, does that sound like him or no?
No.
You know, anyone involved with the Candy Burst household, I just can't do. See,
Todd just talks like super calm.
No, but he has a high pitched voice. His voice is so high. Like this episode, I noticed that he was like, so these are the things that we have to do. It's like, see, I'm not getting a lot of respect from you, Don Juan. See,
I love that Don Juan, anytime he's confronted, that head starts rolling back and his finger starts waving. He's like, oh, hell no. I know you didn't just tell me that. I mean, what about the album I produced? What about the show I produced? What did you do? I've been here 20 years. Who the hell are you, shorty? Oh, nice hat on sideways. Get the hell out of here with your midget ass. Yeah. Love
Don Juan. I was totally
Don Juan. Don't ever fuck with Don Juan.
I love Don Juan. I think he's on top of shit for sure. And I think Candy's on top of shit. And I think Don Juan had a great point, which is that, like, so before Todd came around, like, we had Bedroom Candy and we had Candy Coated Nights and we had all this stuff and everything got done. And Todd came in and it was like, oh, what, like some classes? See? Nah. Todd, he's got, like, ideas and stuff, but, like, he's afraid to say them. So, Rana, she likes to say things too. So, Don Juan, can you get them done?
I like that he was saying, y'all getting too comfortable. And then the screen cap in the recap is him with his feet on the table while he's saying it. Nothing says comfort like feet on the table during a business meeting.
Yeah.
So he's a little arrogant prick. Todd? I'm not really a fan. I didn't really mind him before, but now I don't like him. I do find him to be arrogant. Although I'm sorry your mom died. I loved her.
Yeah, we talked about it on the bonus episode too, but like we're sorry about that. Sorry.
Still don't like
you. But you're kind of getting arrogant. You're getting kind of arrogant. So let's take it down a notch. Let's learn from Riley.
We're back.
Riley. See? Yeah. Nah. Riley.
Cynthia, Kenya, and Claudia meet at a shoe store.
Oh, that was just more of the usual. That was just like one of those generic scenes.
Oh, yeah, that was just toes.
Peter... I'm
through the recap for this whole thing. SARS.
It's okay. Well, there's Peter and Apollo, I think, had a moment.
Portia, Diva, girls talk lying about lying. That was the next thing I read. Oh. Oh, my God. Even though Apollo admitted that he was lying, Nene and Portia won't believe him.
Yeah.
Kenny's like, you think he's lying about lying? Come on.
They are so evil.
And Nene's like, girl, any woman wants to lose 10 pounds. I mean, if it takes your husband going to jail to do it, send him off.
Damn. Shut up, Nene. Shut up with your weird flapper hair, your flapper wig.
That was funny, though.
Yeah.
I like that just seeing Nene back with everybody. I hate watching her in her own stupid scenes.
Yeah, no, she's definitely funnier when she can play off other people, for sure.
Yeah, just trash other people that are there, whatever.
But did Peter do something? I feel like Peter did something that made me roll my eyes.
Oh my God. Okay, so Apollo comes over to talk to Peter.
Yeah.
To basically get free booze, which is the same reason Peter's at work. So he goes to like Bar None to talk to Peter.
Mm-hmm. And Bar One.
Call it Bar None because I don't think it's there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Peter's advice about what a relationship is. That was the best part of the episode to me. He's like, she's treating you that way, brother. That's not how a relationship is. She's supposed to be with you the whole time. So if you're in jail, she's supposed to be excited for you. You know, she's supposed to be there. That's your girl. Or, you know, if you kill somebody, who cares? She's supposed to be there. That's your girl right there. You know, if that was my girl, I'd be there. I was like, Peter, you do nothing but spend your wife's money, okay? And if your ass did what Apollo did and you got sent to jail, your wife would divorce you in 2 seconds, never speak to you again, and be done with you. Don't.
Exactly. Yeah, and then when Apollo's like, yeah, you know, Portia used to visit, Phaedra used to visit me outside on an air mattress with an ankle bracelet, and she would come through all the time, and now she's like, she don't have anything to do with me. It's like, yeah, well, no shit, Sherlock. She, like, invested in you. She created a family tableau. Well, not tableau. She created an image of what she wanted her family to be. She said, okay, I'm going to pluck this guy, this sap out from his air mattress. He's hot. He looks good. He'll give me, like, handsome babies. And we're going to play the part of husband and wife. And you ruined it. You did not live up to your end of the deal. No wonder why she's not following you to jail.
And not only that, but you know, not Portia. You know that Phaedra was like, okay, here's the rules.
Yeah.
You work for me. You are welcome to do what you want to do on your own time, but no criminal activity. You cannot be going to jail again and acting like a damn fool. You just got out of jail. You got to be super careful, blah, 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 unless it's something that I set up for you.
Yeah.
Because I still believe that. But you know that she gave him rules and he broke the only damn rule she gave him. And now he's like,
but now I'm going to go come out and be poor.
And that's all he cares about is coming out and being poor. He doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about, he's not worried about the kids. He's worried about coming out and being poor. You know?
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be any, like, friendly Jewess from NPR to make a podcast to get him out of jail this time around.
Can you imagine? There is a call from the correctional facility in Atlanta.
Hey, baby, what you doing?
Well, I was looking into your case, and it looks like the cop's timeline isn't really working out.
What you wearing, baby?
Well, it looks like the cops have you at the Best Buy at a time you couldn't have been there. We might be able to get you off.
Oh, yeah, you can get me off, baby. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Are you masturbating, Apollo?
What? Get me off. Get me off. You promise.
Dun, dun, dun. Next week.
You're supposed to stick by my side. If I need to get off, you're supposed to help me all the way through it.
Dun, dun, dun. So Peter being a marriage advisor was hilarious to me. Shut up, Peter.
Oh my god, it's just the worst.
What else happened here? Lunch with Portia and Claudia. Cynthia. We already talked about that.
Well, then the Kenya, when Candy was like, "See, nah," the other girls were like, "Oh, she's like, you know, lying about lying." For Candy, Kenya, of course, was like, "Oh, I just can't, like, this is just for 2 years I've had these, my nieces were calling me up and be like, Auntie, why would you do these things?
You ruined my reputation. You've called me a whore for 2 years. Kenya, you've acted like a whore for 2 years, okay? You've been looking him up and down, flirting with him to try and make problems in their relationship, suggesting that he's sending you sext messages, which he did not do and you never produced. So why don't you stop acting innocent, you big old heifer? And there's a reason that Donald Trump calls you the worst person he's ever met, okay? Yeah. And that guy was married to Ivana.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote down a couple of my favorite lines. Okay. Portia being like, "You don't need to know nothing about the woo-woo ding-dang and the ding-ding-dong-dong."
Yeah, that was a nice
Which one. Is one of the ringers this month. And Todd, when he was yelling at the staff, for how they're not working enough for Candy. And he's like,
"I mean, come on, y'all. I mean, we got a black president. She ain't even done nothing with Obama."
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that
how
was the most.
How could you not book Obama, you fucking moron?
I mean, I'm surprised. I thought a mother's love was heading straight to the White House, at least the Kennedy Center. You know? I mean, it'll be getting its honor in like
the Kennedy Center honors.
How could you, Candy? How could you do this, man, and leave me without a house? What if you choke on a chicken bone, Candy?
Oh, my God. That was one of the most ridiculous things that Todd has ever said. "We ain't done nothing. We ain't done nothing with the Obamas."
"No, we got a black president. We ain't even done nothing with Obama."
Oh, no.
Oh, sail God, you Riley. See, now, I see. See, now it's the home of the brave.
Okay. I'm looking through this recap to see what I missed.
I think we covered most of it. Why don't we move on to Vanderpump Rules?
Blink, blink, ding, blink, ding, blink, ding, blink, ding, 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 ding. This hat, well, there is another good picture in here. It's of the little kid trying to pick a dog out at the dog pound.
Oh, that was cute.
And the caption is, "And it's good practice for learning how to talk while separated by several reinforced inches of material." Oh, jeez. Oh,
that's
awesome.
That kid is
that
so
is
cute.
That is awful and awesome.
It is.
That's why the site is called Trash Talk TV.
Okay, so let's go on to Vanderpump Rules. So, Vanderpump
Rules, yeah.
My dad watched about 3/4 of this with me. And then until he finally got to his breaking point when he's like, "This is goddamn agony." And then pretty much just, you know, that was it for him. So this episode, this is sort of like a classic Vanderpump Rules episode where basically there was an allegation of cheating and it went back and forth all episode long until it erupted in like a mini fight. And now I think it's going to set up probably a season long series of denials leading to eventually an admission, right? That's what happens every season.
Well, yeah, because everybody confesses at the last second. You know, Katie's going to be like, okay, I was giving him a blowjob under the table, but it's only because you were dating 20 other people in Vegas.
So for those of you who missed it, the allegation is that Jax and Sheena saw Katie motorboating a guy's dick at a club, which is not really something that people do. And my dad was like,
I've never heard of motorboating a dick.
I know. My dad was like, what's motorboating? I was like, it's like that.
Yeah, and you put your face in between big boobs and make that sound.
I was like, I'm really glad that this show let me sort of bond with my dad in that way, that I could teach him what motorboating meant.
Totally. Because, yeah. I mean, back in his days, it was called giving a Zerbert to a tit.
It's called the old FDR shuffle.
Oh, the evolution of language, Dad. Hugs.
So Jax and Sheena are claiming that they saw Kitty do this. And Sheena's been on like this big, she's been on a big kind of campaign to turn the guys against Katie, because every chance that she gets, she's like, I don't understand, like, why is such a big, like, why all of a sudden, like, Katie, like, Schwartz can't hang out with us because Katie has an issue, like, this, just because I'm here now Schwartz can't hang out, like, I'm surprised you guys are still friends with her.
Yeah, that whole group is really turned against Katie. I mean, Katie is a bitch from hell, and I don't blame them. Because one minute she's pretending to be their friends, and the second Stassi's back, she's like, whatever, I don't know you people. Because Stacy's the alpha.
Well,
or Stassi.
Don't forget that last season, Katie was persona non grata for a while. Like, I think the first half of the season, everyone hated Katie because she, like, ruined Stassi's birthday party, and she cried, and she was she got too drunk, and everyone's like, ugh, Katie. And they hated
she learned her lesson, so now she's going to kiss Stassi's ass for the rest of time.
Yeah. But for now, I just thought it was so crazy how by the end of the episode, Jax and Tom sit down at the table with Katie, and then Katie brought up this whole cheating allegation, and then Jax starts just like going at her. I'm just like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, you cheat on your boyfriend, so whatever. Blah, blah. And Jax is obviously just trying to break everybody up because he's alone. Yeah. You know,
I mean, he does this every season. He always like passes along gossip that'll destroy everyone's relationship with each other. Yeah,
he's really a terrible person. I don't know why anybody hangs out with him.
No, he's awful. I'm surprised, and I'm not surprised that Tom Sandoval is hanging out with him again. I'm surprised because Jax did awful things to him, and not surprised because Tom's just not that smart.
Tom. Okay, so the first scene of this episode was Jax getting his nose stuff taken off, right? Wasn't it like the unveiling of the nose?
Yeah, which looks
and
exactly
so Tom, the same. Tom Sandoval and Jax were at the doctor's office, and the doctor comes in, and Tom cannot stop looking this guy up and down. He's like in love with the doctor, which was hilarious.
The doctor's hot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, well, I mean, we would be the same way, right? So then the doctor finally leaves, and Tom's like, dude, that guy gets laid every day. Jax is like, yeah, we're totally hetero, but that guy's fucking hot, right? And they're like, yeah, he's hot.
It's like hashtag no homo, no homo.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. You shave your forehead. Bend over.
You know, I once had a super hot doctor. I once went to – I had to go to the emergency room because I coughed up blood once, like, at 5 in the morning, and turns out it was totally benign. It was just, like, from a weird cold. But my emergency room doctor was, like, gorgeous, like, drop dead. I mean, it was – my friend Jenny drove me to the emergency room, and so we're sitting in this, like, little, like, examination room, and this guy walks in. I mean, it's, like, dreamboat, like, hotter than the plastic surgeon, and he's so gorgeous. And he's like, so tell me what's wrong. And I was like, I couldn't talk, and I looked over to Jenny, and she has her like head in her hands because she's like, she can't believe how hot this guy is, and she knows what's going through my head, and she knows that like if I look at her, she's gonna start we're both gonna start laughing. It's like, here I am, I've just coughed up blood, and all I can think about is, oh my god, this doctor's so hot. Like, all I want to do is laugh. It was you know,
I just
Jenny
want to make love to this doctor.
You know, Jenny, Ronnie, next time you see her, you got to ask her about this doctor. It was unbelievable.
Hotness. I know, hot sorry. Doctors.
Hot doctor. They do exist. They do exist.
What else happened in this show? This show is so silly because a lot of times nothing really happens on it, but it's just so funny because it shows like the shallow ass city that LA is. It's just hilarious to me. It's like Jax's nose job, and then Lisa's acting like she's doing this huge favor to Stassi by letting her be the stylist for her cover shoot for Frontiers magazine.
Yeah, she's like, oh, Frontiers magazine is a very, you know, it's a very like prominent gay magazine. I'm like, no, it's the free shit that you find on the corner of Joey's Cafe.
Yeah, it's like next to the Thrifty Nickel, please.
Yeah, please. It's like a step above the Penny Saver. Just it's like Penny Saver with like abs.
Yeah, it's like how you find out which go-go boys are working where on what night, and then it's where you see all these like all your old queen friends like posing for the weird paparazzi guy that goes around taking pictures. Like,
yeah.
He's like, here's nobody, and here's another nobody, and here's another nobody, and here's a nobody with Botox, and here's
it's the who. It's the who's not. With, who, it's the. It's like the who's not of West Hollywood.
Who's not anybody? The who's not who?
No. Yeah. So, well, I mean, Stassi was being kind of ridiculous. I mean, but Lisa's stupid. I mean, she's. Who would hire Stassi? I would never hire Stassi to be my stylist because everything Stassi wears now comes from like School Moms Incorporated.
No kidding. It's like you have soccer. No one who has soccer mom hair can be a stylist. Sorry. Yeah,
sorry, Stassi.
But also, Lisa. I mean, I know it always feels like we've got our head up Lisa's butt on this show. I mean, I admit that, but I just think like Lisa's trying to be nice and give Stassi a reason to be on camera since she doesn't even work there anymore. And the show's about the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she was the one who called Stassi and was like, Stassi, you should come back to the show. Why are you giving up a TV show? Don't be an idiot. Yeah. And Stassi came back just to like fucking hang out. You know that that's all what happened, and she's just trying to give her some TV time, and Stassi's like, Lisa wouldn't even pay me. What a bitch. She didn't even say thank you.
Yeah, Stassi better be careful, because the way she's playing it this season, she might not be back next season, I say. She's not doing anything interesting, and she's not being bitchy. I mean, not too much happened this week. Kristen came back from her suspension, and she's like, seriously, Lisa? Seriously, Ken? Like, I'll be a lot more professional from now on, so, like, seriously? Seriously. And her boyfriend's like, well, I got a much bigger penis than Tom does.
That's so disgusting. I wish this was a drama on TV like Sons of Anarchy, because if this was Sons of Anarchy, his head would be blown off by the end of the season.
I wish Kristen were hosting Serial. She'd be like, so Anand, did you not kill Hay? And he'd be like, no, man, I didn't. She's like, seriously. This week, I went and I spoke to Jay, and I was like, Jay, your story doesn't make sense. Like, seriously? It'd just be called Serially.
So, when you went to get stoned at your friend's house, did you call anybody? Seriously? So, but then there was another girl who said she called. It's hard.
Anand,
I want the cable back, Anand. I want my cable back.
Anand, did you fuck a girl in Vegas? No, I've been in jail. Stop lying, Anand. Seriously, I know what you've been up to. Seriously. Seriously, it took me like 25 minutes to get to Best Buy. It doesn't take like 17 minutes. Like, seriously.
Remember when I first fucked you when I was stealing CDs from Best Buy, Adnan? He's like, no, that was another black guy. She's like, seriously?
Seriously?
I was trying to get him off, too.
Hey, Anand, I brought my executive producer, Sheena.
Hey, Anand, I have a question. Why is there glass in my foot? Did you do that?
Seriously, Anand, I can't believe you did
Anand.
That.
We were walking through the forest to find out where the guy said he went pee-pee, and I stepped in a bottle. And then
I can't believe you killed Hay on my birthday. Like, why does this always happen at my birthday party?
Mom, I can't believe you didn't even text me after you killed that girl.
Next week on Serial.
I really wish we had a tech person to go in there and add that fucking theme everywhere we mention it, because that shit would be hilarious.
I'm just going to go through an episode of Serial, and I'm going to take out whatever her name is, Sarah Koenig, and I'm just going to put in, seriously, with every single segment, every single interview. Seriously, Nisha? Seriously. Seriously, Kathy? I know we changed your name, but like, seriously?
Oh my god, that shit is hilarious. You guys, please, if you don't know what we're talking about and you're mad at us for acting like such retards, please listen to Serial at least once so you can get this podcast.
Yeah, we are off the rails this week.
Okay, so Vanderpump Rules. So let me look at my notes.
Yeah, look at your notes.
Lisa and Stassi, puppy, nose job, doctor. That dog is not your... Oh.
That's going to fix everything.
Tom Schwartz. First of all, you're not having sex with your girlfriend. She's probably cheating on you, and you hate each other. So instead of just breaking up to pacify her, wanting to get married all the time, you get a dog. No, that's like having a baby to save your marriage. That doesn't work, and especially getting a dog doesn't, because the dog can't take sides. It can't even talk. Second of all, you idiot, that dog is not 1 year old. They went to get that dog from Barking Bitches on Fairfax. That place is the biggest ripoff. That woman charges like $800 to get a dog, to adopt an old-ass, droopy, about-to-die dog. She charges you like $600 to $800, and then she's a liar. That dog was not a year old. It has a gray beard.
Yeah.
It was like a black and white dog. That is an old person dog.
Yeah, that should go with Stassi. Give that one to Stassi.
She'll be like, "Why are you so old, you stupid dog?
I am literally going to chop this dog's head off and smear the blood all over Sir because I'm so glad I don't work there anymore.
I'm literally going to bite this dog's nose off, put it in a martini glass, make Sheena fill it with a cosmopolitan made with Vanderpump vodka. Then I'm going to drink it. Then I'm going to poop it out, sift through my poop, rinse it off, cook it into a meal, and serve it to Jax." Fucking old person dog.
Stassi did provide one of my favorite lines of the season, though, when she said, "I don't know what I ever did to you, but I will take a Pinot Grigio."
I think that was it. I have girl brunch, but any girl brunch is just Stassi basically being like, "Why are you guys still friends with those losers? Why are you even dating Tom? Why are you even working it, Sir? Why are you even doing that? I've got a rich boyfriend. I mean, why are we even here? Why are we eating this crap?" And I love that they were at Solar de Cahuenga, like sitting on the noisiest street in Hollywood to film a stupid brunch scene. How's your cold crepe?
There are the hottest guys there, though. If you go in the middle of the week and want to do something like work, want to go to a coffee shop in the middle of the week, all the hot actors are at that place.
I perform at the theater down the street, so it's not fun to cruise there because people are like, "Hey, I saw you in there. You had your laptop out, but you just kept staring at that hot guy the whole time. What were you doing?" God damn it. Can I just have some privacy? Oh, there's a helicopter ahead, probably trying to stop the rain with chemtrails.
Mm. You go, helicopter.
Yay.
Okay. Vanderpump Drools is over.
So why don't we go on to Euros of Hollywood. This was all about Sasha. Now, I have to say, this is very funny. I have to say, you know, this is at a whole birthday party, and I have to say that this is I didn't want to have a lot of drama at the birthday party, but this is I have to say, very funny. There's a lot of drama here. It's very American.
There's so many people, because there's such a party, because I'm such a big deal, from where I'm from, that I need to have people, and they have to be "Wow, you are doing so great for yourself, because look at you have this big birthday party, so it means you must be doing something so great for yourself, and that's how to be an American."
Here it is. This is one of the best restaurants in Los Angeles right now. And so I have to show the Germans that this is going very well for me right now. So I have to say that I think I did a very good party.
So funny. I thought it was pretty good, little stupid party. He ended up just taking the same people from his photo shoot, right? Didn't they just do a photo shoot? Didn't somebody just do a photo shoot with all those crazy...
I think so. You know, I actually like Sasha so much. I feel like he seems a little irritable sometimes, but he seems like a really nice guy. I feel like we could be friends. No, I think he just, I don't know, there's something very likable about Sasha. But what I did think was funny was that for the past two episodes, it was "So, you know, I'm having a big birthday party and the Germans are going to be there. And I need to show them that there's not a lot of drama. I don't want any drama to be there. I just want it to be good vibes. So I want Funny and Bliona just to get to the bottom of it so that we could just have a good time, you know?" And then the only one who creates drama the entire party is Sasha when he goes after Isabel.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves the drums. He's a queen. It. And if you notice, so this week we also got to hear some of his music and see him in the producing, in the producing arena. And we got to see who he's working with and his little Euro friends who are his teammates. And there's one, he's the little bear with a beard, the blonde beard. I think he's in love with Sasha. I'm not sure if they do it.
I think that one was Bjorn. There was Bjorn and Lars, I think.
Wow, you have a good memory.
Well, because I was just like, these are such stereotypically German names. It's like Bjorn and Lars.
Like Sven.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that he's in love with him. And also, I think Sasha might be gay because he left his wife in a different country. And also, I think he might be gay because he loves to stir the shit. He just mm-hmm. wants to go to surf for his birthday, which is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And he wants to start shit with women, which is also so gay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely leading that way, I think, a little bit at least. So, you know, in this episode, I'm trying to remember the funny things. Fonny called up her mom. I loved Fonny's mom because Fonny's like, "Hello, mama. Hello, mama. I'm here to show you my app.
Hello, mommy. I'm doing so good here in America. I met so many people. Sometimes they try to touch my boobies, and sometimes I go to the park."
She's like,
"Oh, this is great."
Yeah, the mom's like, "Oh, just keep doing your art." And then Fonny's like, "I just feel like I've created my whole new life out here for me, and this is what I'm all about, my new life with art."
Yeah. All I want to do is make some art for my life.
Because I'm Fonny.
Fonny.
Fonny does art for Sasha.
So... that's basically all Fonny did, because her whole thing was she was just like, "Here's my art, and I'm going to the party, and I'm not going to, like, I don't want to talk to Isabel." And then there was, what's his face? What's the Italian guy's name again? What's his name? You know, the gay Italian
Massimo.
Actor. Massimo. Oh, yes. Massimo. Massimo's, he got to go to Romania. He's so, you know, he's so winsome. He's kind of like this never-ending optimist. Or he's got never-ending optimistic fuel inside of him. And
yeah,
doing his low-budget movie where he has, like, two lines in Russian and he gets strangled. Oh, he's like, "Thank you so much for this opportunity. Like, now I have career. I am now living off my acting." I'm like, well...
I don't know about that.
No, you got a month's rent.
But you're living.
You're living.
And that's something. And you got flown somewhere to do this.
Yeah.
Massimo's so cute and so positive. I really like that kid. I don't know about his dancing and all of that. Even Fonny's like,
"Oh, Massimo, he's so nice, but he shouldn't dance like this. He's not sexy."
And Bleona, everybody put Bleona in her place, so she's trying to be so nice now. She's like, "Oh, I love this party. Oh, listen to the music. It's so wonderful."
I'm Bleona.
Sasha, I love your eyeshadow.
Oh, Sasha. Oh, it was a great song. I love this song. I actually love this song.
She's like, "Mother, you look like shit. Someone fix my mother's face. It looks disgusting."
I honestly, like, I really do wonder if you are trying to make it in America as, like, a pop star, you know, and trying to seem young and relevant, and you're trying to pass yourself off as 29, doesn't it really work against your image to constantly be filmed with your old parents in your old person's apartment?
Well, Russian decoration is different than ours. It's
not, Eastern European in general.
Or whatever. It's not, you know, I'm an ignorant American. Okay. To me, there's like Russia and London. Okay. And Ireland. That's right. All. It's all over there. Okay. I know you from your, I know the difference because of accents, not borders. I'm literally without borders, you guys. I'm a recapper without borders.
So progressive.
But yeah, that Euro decoration not isn't very cute. It's like granny curtains and, you know, carpeting.
Yeah. Granny curtains and carpeting. you know, I have to say, I didn't mind Sasha's song. I didn't think it was the worst.
I liked it, actually. Yeah. I have to say, I really liked it. I thought it was good. I love that kind of music. It's very...
it was like minimalist.
Stay, wake away, fire away, fire away. What is that song? Who made that song?
That's Titanium by Sia and David Guetta.
Yeah, David Guetta. I love that guy. It's kind of similar to his music.
Yeah. I mean, I know...
Isabel, with zero talent, is like, "It needs more."
She's like, it needs another layer.
It needs other layers.
It needs layers. It just needs layers. I'm like, I don't think that she's actually the authority on house music. She's just married to an authority.
But she married, you know, that's a Real Housewives trademark where you marry somebody with talent and then suddenly you have talent. Like, well, no, bitch.
Although,
you don't.
It was funny that when Sasha was, he basically, well, the reason why he was really pissed was because at the last party, she didn't introduce him to Steve Angelo and he was really annoyed. But he's like, this isn't about, you know, meeting who your husband is. It's more like, you know, if I was at a party and I didn't introduce you to my wife, I think that'd be very rude. I'm like, shut up, Sasha. Don't.
Yeah, it's obviously you're mad that you didn't get introduced to the famous guy. But I think what he's trying to say without really saying it, because he'd come off as a total douche, is if we're a group that's saying we're going to help each other make it in America, and I'm trying to produce a song for Bleona to help her, and she's doing it with me to get me publicity on this show that we're on, and then if, you know, we're trying to get Fonny this, and we're all helping each other, and you're just sitting there like a bitch, and you're the only one without any talent, and you're not wanting to help anybody do anything. You just want to sit there and be more famous than people. And also, that bitch is walking around that party like it's all, she's like, oh, it's so over the top and tacky.
Yeah.
You had a fucking keg stand at your party, okay? People were doing keg stands. Please be quiet.
Although I did kind of like her party.
Her party sucked ass. Are you crazy?
What? I love beer pong. I totally would have done it. I totally would have gone to it. But it was sort of like, her party was definitely like hipster, like, you know, here's the thing. I mean, her party was
no
very
carbon.
Hipster.
There
it was
like,
hipster and ironic, which shows that she's kind of, you know, she gets
she
LA
ironic.
Culture. Well, I think she was. I think she was doing the LA thing, and the Euros were doing the Euro thing, which is why they're going to have trouble succeeding, because they have to sort of like be cool Angelinos if they want
to
get
No, ahead. The LA thing is to like have an open bar and like have a classy rooftop party with like music and stuff and catering. She had like peanut butter sandwiches in a keg and then like red cups to put soda if you happen to bring some.
No, she had an open bar too, I thought. But it was
no,
just like
she
it was
didn't
all fratty.
A bar. They didn't have booze.
Or they had like cheap beer. She had cheap beer, but I still think, listen, I have been to many hipster parties. She was falling right in line with that, I felt like.
Yeah.
Either way, she was.
Gross.
She did.
Hipsters are gross.
She did have an attitude about the party. Well, first of all, can you really blame her? She's at Sir, for crying out loud. I would have an attitude too.
Well, not when I just had a keg at my party. I think I would readjust my expectations.
But you know, you did touch on something, which is that the rest of them actually do have a talent. Like, maybe not so much Massimo. But he's trying. He's trying to. But you know, Fonny,
he's got a certain kind of charisma, and I think
and he works. He really, you know, he does. He hustles, and I have to really respect that.
Yeah, me too.
And Fonny, I actually do think is talented with her art at the very least. I haven't really heard much of her music. I heard one song. It was sort of like whatever, but. But, you know, she's not one of these people that says that she's an artist and then it's like crap on a canvas. There is actually artistry that she shows. And Sasha is good at what he does, actually. And even Bleona, you know, she does something. She is the Madonna of Albania.
And I'm wondering if this – well, yeah, she's hustling. She's like, okay, here's the song list. We've got two songs from Timbaland. Oh, no, I'm doing Australian. God damn you, Real Housewives of Melbourne. You know that's never going to leave my brain, the Real
I know.
Housewives.
She's like, okay.
I still do it all the time for fun.
We got
my
two songs from Timbaland. And, oh, no, it's happening to me, too, now.
I've got two songs from Timbaland. But, yeah, she's spending all this money on producers. She's got it. I mean, what is her budget? And how rich is she? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she must have.
Has the dollar really suffered that much?
Well, it sounds like her dad was pretty connected. He was. It sounds like he killed people, so he probably had a good.
I know. I love that she's bragging about her father, like being able to make people disappear.
I know. Either way, I really enjoy the Euros show, and I hope people are watching it. They probably aren't.
But yeah, I really like the Euros of Hollywood too.
Yeah.
I doubt that it'll be around for another. Go at it, but I like it. And I think the nice change is that it's actually about nice people. And that is really love. And I feel like Southern Charm was that way too, where it's generally about really nice people. And it's, they got in fights and stuff sometimes, but it was mostly just you enjoying them being fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice change. Take note, Housewives, which possibly they are bringing people like Lisa Rinna on, but who knows?
So now Ronnie and I have an issue here, which is that I texted Ronnie and I said, are we going to cover The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce? And Ronnie was like, yeah, I think we probably should at least the first one. I was like, yeah, no, you're right. So I watched this show. And then Ronnie said he didn't watch it. And I'm so mad.
But guess what was on last night? The penultimate episode, 2-hour episode of Sons of Anarchy. And after I watched that, I was like, I cannot sit through The Girl's Guide to Divorce after watching what just happened in this show.
I respect that.
I had to take a moment and breathe deeply and sit there in the silence and just think about what went down.
You know what? I respect that, Ronnie. I really do. So I did watch this show.
How many times did I get stuck watching fucking Below Deck or some crap you didn't watch, jerk?
I know.
But I am curious about this show because during Housewives, they were showing like an extended commercial of it where she's standing with her ex-husband at the bar ordering drinks and, you know, he's like, oh, I'll have something frigid. And she's like, I'll have something that cheats with a cherry. And he's like, I'll have, you know, something old and scraggly and dried up. And she's like, I'll have ball skin down to my knees. And, you know, it's like this stupid war at the bar. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know about this show.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I actually felt like it was not a proper fit with Bravo, believe it or not. When I was watching it, it was very much, there's that phone again. I guarantee
you. Oh, there's those telemarketers again.
That's Lisa Edelstein calling, being like, are you talking about my show?
She's like, this is Lisa Edelstein.
Yeah.
Are you happy with your home phone service?
I know. Sorry,
Have
everyone.
Have you considered adding voicemail to your package? Bling,
bling, bling, bling. Yeah. Bling. Oh, I'm being called to be a witness on the next episode of Serial. It's probably my parents calling about dinner. So anyway, you know, the thing was that the show, I thought with the show is going to be more like she already was divorced and now she's like finding her way. But really the pilot was much more about the decline of her marriage. And it was kind of like depressing, I thought, you know, because of that. Like it wasn't like First Wives Club. I'm not saying I thought it would be like First Wives Club, but meaning that like the joy and the liberation that comes with, you know, moving on in life, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, look at this marriage fall apart. And this is, I don't know. It was like,
well, I think just because it's the first episode.
But I think, like, I just thought it was going to start off, like, in the first minute, we'd find out that the divorce is, like, it's, like, he's left her or whatever in the first scene. And now it's happening. But instead it was like, oh, we're going to watch it fall apart. But the reason why I actually felt like it doesn't, to me, it played more like a show that would be on E and not Bravo, because
E, ouch.
No, not, it doesn't say anything about the quality of it, but it's more, you know, E is where you go, you watch your Sex and City reruns on E, you watch Kardashians, you watch E News. It's sort of like where, it's sort of like a network that you watch if you're a sassy woman, I feel like, you know, or like, It's the network that you watch with like a red Cosmo. And I know that Bravo is very similar, but I do think that there is a difference between the Bravo brand and the E brand. And I thought this was more an E show. And so I'm not the demographic for Girlfriend's Guide.
And well, one of the reasons that I didn't watch it was because it was an hour. The frick? I don't think that show needs to be an hour. That needs to be half.
I thought it was going to be a half an hour comedy, and it was more drama. It was light in tone, but it was more of a dramedy, leaning towards drama, I found, and that caught me off guard a little bit. I thought it was gonna be a half an hour comedy, and I think there's room for a half an hour comedy about divorce, but I feel like the tone of the show just did not seem very Bravo to me, which isn't necessarily mean anything that's wrong with the show, but it just means that like I'm the Bravo demographic, I feel like, or part of it, and it didn't really speak to me in that way necessarily. It's also,
well, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because I think they're coming out with a few scripted things. I heard that they were doing a TV version of Heather's, but I guess that
during it they had commercials for something called Odd Mom Out, I think. And it was like this woman in the Upper East Side. She's like a mom smoking a cigarette in the bathroom. And like, it's one of these like sardonic kind of like over it tonally thing. And, you know, again, I just feel like believe it or not, I feel like that actually works better on E. I know that sounds crazy.
I don't watch E at all. So, I mean, E is dead to me since the Kardashians.
Yeah, I just feel like, I just, you know, I feel like watching Sex and the City or whatever, there's, I don't know, there's a certain type, there's a certain, like, mindset you get in when you watch Sex and the City, and I feel like that's the same mindset that you want to get in before you watch Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. And I feel like in Bravo, you know, I think if I were to see something scripted on Bravo, I want it to be more, I know this sounds crazy, but, like, flamboyant. And not being, like, oh, my God, gay queens or whatever, but I think everything on Bravo is kind of silly, and I think this is almost too serious for Bravo.
Well, I really like the idea of another Sex and the City because I love that show, and I love the cast that they've assembled for it, so I'll have to check it out, and I'll watch it again next week.
Janine Garofalo is, I think, the best, and her character is the most interesting. I find that the ex-husband, that he's, like, he's unpleasant, and there was someone else. Bernadette Peters is going to play her mom, which is sort of interesting.
Love her. Yeah, my God. Okay, I'm sold. I'll be watching every episode of Bernadette. Because I was watching that Into the Woods movie, and Meryl Streep's really, really, I mean, obviously, she's Meryl Streep. People would clap after everything Meryl Streep did in that movie. People are so in love with her. But I was still like, bitch, you better back away from Bernadette's role.
Yeah.
I don't care if Bernadette Peters is 5,000 years old. You better bring her ass out here to sing this song because it'll make me cry. Good acting, though, Meryl. Yeah. Okay, but I'm looking up this Odd Mom Out, and I love the idea of this. The single-camera series captures the outrageous world of the uber-wealthy momzillas of New York's Upper East Side. Oh, my God. What a great idea for a show. Those bitches are crazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm friends with one of those ladies, and it is frightening how they work. They're like, they all read the same websites. They all talk about the exact same things. They have the same little opinions, the same hair. Love it. I think it's going to be good.
It could be good. We'll watch it. We'll watch it.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We'll at least watch the first episode. But either way,
I let you down, Ben, but I'll watch it next week for sure.
It's all right. You know what? I'm always happy for Lisa Edelstein. I have a special place in my heart for Cuddy from House. So,
Ben, will you watch the season finale of Sons of Anarchy next Tuesday, please? I have to talk about it with somebody.
I have to wash my hair. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ronnie. I can't do it.
Oh, happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, thanks, Ronnie.
Tomorrow's your birthday.
This is true. Tomorrow's the birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Thanks, Ronnie.
You guys can leave Ben a birthday present at patreon.com. Yes. I love that you on Thanksgiving, you're like, we're so thankful for you, especially the people who signed up at patreon.com/.
I am thankful. They're paying my bills.
Please go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to feel how thankful we are.
No, I am thankful because they're paying my bills, for crying out loud. Of course I'm.
Hell yeah. Hell to the yeah, yeah. What? Woo woo. Shebang bang. Ding dong. Lick a lick.
Lick a lick a lick. So anyway, another fun episode done and complete. To follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com and you'll find the links to everything. And there's a lot to get involved with. And as Ronnie was just mentioning, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. I think we're at like $630 so far per episode, which is amazing. And if we get to 1,000, there will be 2 episodes of Watch What Crappens per week. Of course, people who donate get to listen to the bonus after show. Oh, and one more thing. We are doing a Google Hangout next week, which is, Thursday the 11th for Patreon subscribers. So they've been really fun. We've done 2 so far. So if you want to be a part of that, just keep an eye on our Facebook page for all the details, and we'll send you to the appropriate links. Super fun. Right, Ronnie?
It's going to be so fun, guys.
It's the most fun you've ever had on a Google Hangout.
That's right. And also, don't forget to go to Patreon for your ringers that have been put up for the month of November. There's 4 to 5 ringers there.
Yeah.
They're real funny. There's Google Me Bitch, Riley, Funny Song that Ben sings and wrote.
Yeah.
And a little, I think there's a couple of little candy things in there.
Yeah. And I heard through the grapevine that there might be a Bravo Christmas Carol coming out soon.
Oh my God, I totally heard about it.
Everyone should stay listening to Watch What Crappens to find out more
Christmas
details.
Christmas time come, funny times.
So anyway, everyone, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week when I'll be a little bit older.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.